Call the meeting to order. Roll call, please, Pat.
Carlisle.
Here.
Kubish.
Here.
McClory. Murray.
Here.
And Reynolds.
Here.
Last month, John did indicate that he would not be here for the June meeting.
Okay. Short memory. Can have motion to approve John's absence.
So moved.
I'll second. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Next item is approval of the minutes of the May 5th meeting. Anybody have any problem with them?
I did make one phone call, just for the record, Bob. You don't have any problem with us re-nominating you?
No. No, I think I better abstain from the approval of the minutes since I wasn't here.
No, that's fine.
Okay. No other discussion? Roll call, please, Pat. I'll confuse you.
We need a motion first.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
A motion to approve minutes.
Second.
Okay.
Murray?
Aye.
Reynolds?
Aye.
Carlisle?
Abstain.
Kubish?
Aye.
And McClory.
Any correspondence?
I have none.
Okay. Under new business, adoption of the 2015 calendar. And because we meet on Tuesday, we missed the 4th of July this year, so. I'd make a motion that we adopt the calendar as presented.
Second it.
All in favor indicate by saying aye.
All right.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Next item of business is a variance request for 600 Jefferson Street. We'll open the public hearing and ask for Pat to give a staff report.
Sure. As you mentioned, 600 Jefferson Street. The background on this property, it is owned by Donna Levine of Destin, Florida, currently listed for sale. It's immediately adjacent to the east of Jefferson Street in the rural estate district. Approximately 20 acres in size and currently vacant and forested. Adjacent properties to the south and east are zoned also in the rural real estate district. Adjacent properties to the north, located in Evangeline Township. And as I mentioned, Jefferson Street borders the property to the west. And it does share lot lines with other privately owned residential properties. An additional piece of information that was recently received a phone call from or an email from John McCafferty, who was listed as a potential buyer and on the application for the appeal. He is for private reasons not interested in the sale at this moment in time. However, we are moving forward with the variance request via the current owner, Donna Levine. And past that, the purpose of the request is to avoid having to install a hard surface driveway due to the overall length being potentially up to 1,000 feet. As I mentioned, the property is approximately 20 acres. The Boyne City Zoning Ordinance states in section 24.80, for any development in the residential districts, the parking surface on the property and access driveway shall be covered with pavement or hard surface material. Again, the variance request is to avoid having to install the hard surface driveway in its entirety due to the potential overall length. We did receive one phone call from Martin Novak opposing the variance request. Did not state why, but did state that he was opposed to the variance request after the notice was sent. Speaking with the applicant, well, the applicant's realtor had indicated that the applicant was willing to pave portions of the proposed driveway, but was requesting variance to avoid having to pave the entire length. Again, Mr. McCafferty has since backed out of the sale. However, the realtor, Chris Christensen, who's here, is looking to move forward with the request.
We wanted to go ahead with this since we had to put all the postings out and had to post the neighbors and all that. And even though Mr. McCafferty at this time has withdrawn his offer to purchase, we wanted to proceed with it because we believe that we can procure another buyer or perhaps get Mr. McCafferty back on board. But in the meantime, we didn't want to have to post another 30 days and have to send all the mailers out. That just prolongs the purchase agreement process that we're in. I spoke with Mr. Kilkenny and he explained that the potential length of this variance for us would be somewhere around 6 months or longer if you see fit. The only variance that we're working on here, come on, Scott, no, hang on a minute.
They can't alter that time.
Can we ask for an extension later?
Yes, for
okay. Variance. Okay. All right, no problem. So anyhow, I'm just giving, I just got a hard time. Anyhow, the point would be that the property in particular in question here is wet. We also at Linda's have another 20-acre parcel that's in the city limits listed as well. So we've got kind of a vested interest in whether or not this planning commission is willing to work. Now, they're not, I don't know that they're zoned exactly the same, but we're just trying to figure out what our options are. This particular parcel, I don't know if you were given an aerial on your map.
I walked it.
Did you? Okay. Mm-hmm. It's particularly wet to the south side and in the front, so the only real true building spots that were of any desire to my potential client and to anyone else is going to look at it as a 20-acre, because he was looking at it as a 20-acre estate. I think Mrs. Vivine's initial intrigue would be to get something similar to Maddie Lane, which is the property to the south, but there's just not going to be enough building sites in there given the nature of the wetland or the ground that's there. So what my original client here was proposing was that, you know, he wasn't opposed to paving, you know, the apron from the road, putting the culvert in and doing all the things that are required to do that, and then paving a certain distance back, and then he was willing to even turn the driveway so that as you stood from the end of the road, you looked in, you saw a hard permeable or hard paved surface. But it was unreasonable in his mind to have to pave it 1,000 feet back to the nearest building site that was acceptable to what he was trying to do for his purpose, which his purpose was a single family residential dwelling on a 20-acre parcel that just happened to be the city limits.
There's no construction on the 20 acres?
No, it's just it's a vacant piece of land.
I would estimate that the cost to do the driveway, according to city ordinance, would be probably as much as he's going to pay for the property.
Well, let me interrupt. Dick. Right. Sorry, you know I wouldn't do this if it wasn't important. So,
yeah.
In my hard copy, in the master copy that comes out of my book, the last sentence says the portion, maybe I'm misunderstanding this. The portion of the driveway within the right-of-way, which is 33 feet, correct? Is that still the city's right-of-way within 33 feet? It's the city street? Mm-hmm. Shall meet the then current city specifications. Are we or are we not only discussing and really considering here 33 feet from the center of the road?
No, we're discussing from the center of the road to the driveway's entirety.
Is that what this says?
No. All you can consider is what is on Ms. Bavine's property. You can't give a variance from the municipal requirements in the right-of-way.
Well, I guess then that's my mistake. I interpreted this wrong.
They would be obligated to meet the municipal requirements from the right-of-way, as you talked about, putting the culvert in, putting the apron in. All those things would have to be done.
Well, Mike.
So all he can request a variance for is from the property line back. On Ms. Bavine's property. That's all they can request, and that's all you can give relief from.
I guess I was thinking the way I'm reading this is that this would only require somebody to meet the standards from the center line of the road, 33 feet to the right of way, and then after that, they're on their own.
No, you're talking two different working standards.
All right, okay.
To Mr. Murray's point, though, let me get my words together here the way I want to say this. The average driveway, the average lot size in the city of Boyne City is, you know, 66 feet wide by, in some cases, 100 feet deep, right?
132,
okay. And, you know, to, with the setbacks that you have in place, what's your rear setback? 15, 10, something like that? So you're 15 from that, so now you're at 127 or 117, right? And then you got the size of the house. So any driveway, which the garage has to be 10 feet behind the front door, correct? So, you know, the average driveway of an average home in the city of Boyne isn't going to be any more than 40 feet, you know what I mean, or somewhere in that ballpark. So the fact that this particular 20-acre parcel falls within the city limits, I mean, 1,000 feet seems a bit egregious, I guess. I mean, it's not Mrs. Vivien's fault that the ordinance is in place and the property wasn't built on in the past. And if the property were splittable, maybe she'd have an option like Maddie Lane. But in reality, I think that any buyer would be willing to accommodate the average length of a driveway on a city-provided lot in the city limits, you know? I mean, because this is outside the norm of that, I guess that's the relief that we're really looking for here, is the consideration that, you know, we're talking about 1,000-foot-long driveway as opposed to a 40- or 50-foot driveway.
There's not a lot of options for building sites that would perk, and you have to go all the way to the east end of that property where it raises up a little bit. The original parent parcel was 40 acres. 20 acres came off of Vogel, which they sold the front 10 to Brook, and Brook developed that and then provided an easement to the back 10. This is an entirely separate parcel that meets back there. So times there's standing water in the spring, times there's not, but the spot back there, because the elevation rises up, they do have a building site back there. Yeah. So he's just saying, you know, I'd like to build back there, but it seems a little unfair to have to spend as much for the driveway as I'm going to pay to buy this piece of property. So we're looking for a variance to do that. And even if Mr. McCafferty falls off, it's going to be an issue for anybody else,
right,
to do that.
Did Mrs. Vivien buy it with the intention of simply turning it over for resale? Did she intend to build on it? How do we get it?
It's a little bit longer than that. Her husband bought that about 10 years ago, bought the whole 40 acres, and they went through a divorce, and he deeded her the property. And so now she's trying to sell the property. So we sold that front portion to Brooke, haven't sold the back portion. I can say that from what I know personally, this is a protracted, nasty, legal battle going on between two people that are being divorced. And she just kind of wants to be done with it. She'd like to sell the property and get out of it and not deal with it. I think the issue probably legally is that if the husband paid close to $400,000 for the property, he'd probably like to plug that number into the divorce settlement and say, well, this, I'm giving you this big chunk. In reality, he bought it when the market was high and it's now it's low, and she just would like to be done with it. And because of this issue of the land and this situation, we're trying to help her, you know, sell that. And we're not looking to do a development back there. We're just looking to put a single home back there. So even if he falls off, we could get the variance for that length of time. It would give me 6 months to find a buyer that would sell that and say, this is what the city has said you can do and what you can't do.
How do we get from 40 feet to 1,000?
Beg your pardon?
How do we get from 40 feet to 1,000?
The length of the driveway. The building, the parcel is 1,290-some feet long on the north side and 1,300 feet on the south. The driveway would come in somewhere in the middle, and then it would go basically along the north border. So it was our client's estimate that he'd be in about 200 feet from the rear line. So we've estimated that the length of the driveway from Jefferson, because that's where he's got to come in at, would be about 1,000 feet.
So we could resolve that by saying I've decided to build right next to the street here, and so I only need 40 feet. That takes care of it, right?
If you had a viable building spot there, but at this point it didn't look to be.
There's no viable building spot on 20 acres?
Not there, not because of the terrain and the composition of the soil.
There's no basements up there.
Is there any sewer up there?
Water and sewer does go up Jefferson.
Sewer and the water is at Maddie Lane?
No, it goes all the way up Jefferson.
Does it go up your
Jefferson?
It
passes this property.
All right.
So. But there's also a variance for the 200-foot if you're more than, if his building spot is more than 200 feet off the water and sewer, the county will enable him to put a drain field in place. But again, to get to a drain field, he's got to get to a high spot to the back of the property.
And it would allow him to build a house with a basement.
Right.
There's no access there along the brook on the east end of the property.
Only to the other 10-acre parcel that's in back of Brook, not to this 20.
So is that access on the east line of the Brooks property or on the west line?
It's on neither. It's off, because the Brook property is on Vogel. Yeah, this right. is off on Jefferson.
But I'm understanding you saying that there's a 10-acre parcel directly behind Brooks.
It's on the west side.
And that's on the west side of the Brook development, 66 feet.
So if whoever owns that parcel could reconfigure that easement to allow that easement access to this parcel also, correct?
Yes, but that would involve a lot of earth moving. I have a survey here I can show you.
And also it involves a piece of property that
she doesn't own.
She owns it, but it's not included in this offer to purchase.
She would encumber that back 10 by allowing an easement, you know, and then he would still have to improve a driveway of some sort.
When Brooke did that development, the original intent was to go down Vogel, sewer and water. And then they ended up buying a lot in Maddie Lane where there was sewer and water and going through that lot into their property.
You want to make a copy of that?
So they gave them sewer and water access at what was cost. So then they didn't have any street renovations, you know, sidewalk, any of that stuff, so they did that, but then they thought, my understanding was that it was going to be a vacant lot then, where the sewer and water went through into Brook, and then he's put it back on the market.
So you're saying that this 10 acres that's available, or may be available in the future, is going to be landlocked without...
There's an easement along from Vogel back 66 feet on the west edge of the Brook property.
My client looked at that's the 10 originally. Okay. But decided on the 20 because of the setting, you know, and the fact that the only access was to drive across unimproved property in front of the brook. So he decided on the 20, and I believe that his initial intent would be to pick up the 10 down the road if everything works out for him on the front 20. So that would make all this other discussion a moot point. But he, you know, at this point, he was just working on the 20 initially. But the 10 was, you know, the 10's all high and dry. I mean, that's the better of all the parcels. It's just... landlocked. I mean, well, that slopes up off of Jefferson.
A little strange because we had to get a variance for the brook because in Boyne City zoning ordinance, they didn't have a designated area for that senior complex.
Well, it wasn't a variance, it was a recondition.
Yes, conditional
zoning.
So then they did that and then allowed us to split it, and the brook came in, and I think that's been a fine addition to the community. So,
is there any... If the sewer is available on Jefferson, how would that stack up against, you know, putting a sewer in? I don't know.
Well, I think if your building site is more than 200 feet from the sewer line and you have land that will perk, you're allowed to put in an in-ground system.
I understand that, but if you were to say...
Real quick, in this L shape here that you're looking at on the survey, the 10 that Doc is referring to, that the brook sits on, is right here, and there's a line. This is a survey that was cut before the 10 acres was cut out, so the what would be the south line of the property off of Jefferson continues straight across. So this is the available 10, this is the 20 that we're talking about, this is the 10 from the brook.
This is 10 on the knob on it, on the big hill.
Yeah, this 10 here goes up. This is all high, dry ground up here. The easement from the brook is along this side to get to this 10. Again, that's still 600 feet from the road. So as far as the sewer access would go, whoever buys that 10, as long as they've got perkable property, are more than 200 feet from available sewer. And then the 20 acres, again, the building sites, he identified, when we talked about it, he identified three. One that was here, one that was back toward the back, about near the 10. And then another one that was somewhere in toward the middle, but also all three were in this back corner here. We pursued a potential access of a driveway off of Evangeline Township with an existing driveway that's there. But the problem with that is that there's multiple property owners along there, and he didn't want to take the chance of getting followed up by one. So that brought us back to building the driveway in Jefferson. Mr. McCafferty. My potential buyer at the time, right, so. So anyhow, so this is, you know, low and wet through here. I mean, a lot of the Matty Lane vacant parcels are still low and somewhat wet, but that's, depends on who you talk to in regards to that stuff, but. Anyhow, like Mr. Murray has stated, the ground slopes up as you go this way.
Well, the topo map shows that rather prominently.
Right.
You might find a frog or two in there.
Question for Scott. When they plotted the sub around Matty Lane, am I remembering correctly in the, I think it's like these parcels are held as like common ground or some such thing because of the...
Yeah, there was some wet areas that were identified and kept as like conservation areas as part of that plat.
Chris, do you know of a wetland delineation or anything to that effect that's been done on this property in question?
Nothing official. We kind of live by the don't ask if you don't want to know. I think the important thing to point out here is that we're only asking for this variance in the use of the single family. We're not looking for a variance for multiple structures or anything like that. I mean, that's all we want. If someone wants to come along, build a single family house on this 20 acres, we're just looking for a variance that, you know, like I've told Patrick the times that we've talked about it, he's not asking to be waived from paving the driveway at all. He's just asking that after 40 feet, or, I mean, you know, give us a number of what the average length of driveway in Boynton City is, and, you know, we'll be willing to accommodate that. It's just the 1,000 feet that makes it, you know, difficult and quite egregious as a cost.
Can I jump in here again? I've been stumbling with this word for the last couple of days called substantial.
Right.
And what does that mean? And I've looked it up financially and, you know, under in construction and building, and what does this mean? And so we're here to try to help and solve these issues, and that's what your point is right now, is that this man is willing to make a concession, but to contribute something to show that he has a substantial interest. Now, I don't know if we can do that here or not. But what is a substantial interest? 20%? And I don't think it's 40 feet, but I would consider talking about 20%.
I'm willing to take the average drive in the city of Boynton. I mean, that
mine's 150 feet.
Your driveway's 150 feet?
Yeah, okay.
And my driveway is about 6 feet. Most of that sits in the front of the easement of the road. So between my 150 or your 150 and my 6, we're at 78. So, I mean, we can probably pull the room and get that number down a little bit. But even if it was 60 feet, you know, whatever the number is, I'm willing to do something like that. I was just, the only reason I suggested the average was just because it would be a relatively simple number, I would imagine. I got to imagine that there's certain statistics or details that you guys keep when it comes to these permits, or people just pave them. I mean, the driveway up here on Park Street, the house that was just put in, it's going to be in the 300 block just across, you know, that driveway there is probably, what, 60 feet at maximum. And that's, I mean, and again, does this measurement include the 33 feet from the center of the road that I'm required to pave anyway? Or, I mean, that's, I guess that's what I'm talking. Am I 40 feet beyond the 33 feet, or am I 7 feet beyond the 33 feet? I don't know. That's kind of why we're here, to try and sort all this out.
To answer that question, we don't have any data that identifies typical average length.
And
there's no permit.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to come up with typical, you know, because my driveway from the garage door to the street is probably 100 feet.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. The lot's 154 feet deep.
Okay.
I'm 10 foot off the lot line, and the garage is 26 foot deep. So we've got 36 off 154, so it's over 100 feet.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's fair. I'm not trying to skate 40 foot. It was merely a suggestion. You're talking about a guy that lives on a lot that's 36 feet wide, the 6 foot driveway. You know, it's a different world for me. You know what I mean?
What happened with the access road along the Vangeline Boynton City border there, Porter's driveway, Mr. Porter, Jeffrey Porter's driveway? Is that his driveway that was paved there?
I don't know if that's paved.
Yeah, he's paved in there a few feet.
I don't know.
He's right on the northwest corner. Right on the northwest corner of this piece of property we're discussing.
Yeah.
Is where Jeffrey Porter lives.
Right.
In Evangeline Township.
I guess I was assuming that was all in the township.
It is.
Yeah.
Right.
But, oh, and the road that goes back along, is that field's all in the township?
Yes, correct.
That's what he told me, but sometimes I think I'm from Missouri.
Chris, given the wetness issues that seem to surround this, if it were, we could compromise on 40, 50 feet, the rest remains in gravel. What have you really done for the value of the property, and have you made it any more attractive with that paving for a sale and a nice tax-paying home? Following?
Sort of. You're asking, am I enhancing the value? What I'm actually doing is expediting the process. You know, is the value enhanced? To a certain degree it is. I mean, you know, Doc and I are probably going to end up bearing the brunt of the application fee just to get this thing taken care of, but the reality remains that, you know, had we skipped this meeting and foregone, we would have been at least another mailing out, another application fee, and another 30 days to the next meeting. So if we're able to procure a buyer coming into the summer season that we are right now, being that we're in the early part of June, having something in place like this is going to benefit the expeditiousness of getting something taken care of, because, you know, we've already talked to the health department. We know the 200-foot rule. We know that that's only going to perk in a few areas, and we kind of have an idea where those are at if we're able to procure a buyer for the back. But that's why I stress the single family. I mean, that's really what we're trying to dedicate this purchase to, is a single family, single residence on a property. You know, they might have a potential outbuilding or two or whatever is allowable within the zoning, but, you know.
They're not lucky to get the driveway in and then get the house up and then say, well, now we've got a driveway and we could whack this up into three or four parcels. That's not the intent. In fact, I don't see any problem with language saying you can't do that.
Right.
There are only several. There's two options, single family and then estate size, 2 or 3 acre.
It's rural estate district. Minimum lot size is about 10,000 square feet. If you did a typical land division, you could create four parcels out of that, or five. It's, you get four for every 10 plus one for the.
So the driveway would have to, at a minimum, possibly be thought of to support.
But if they did just a land division, you know, the parcel, if someone did a site condominium, obviously you could do many more sites similar to Maddie Lane, you know, that kind of development.
But then you'd have to upgrade the roads by other statutes anyway.
Just talking the numbers of possible sites.
Right. So, I mean, there's other requirements that would protect the city so that we, you know, didn't get the variance for a single family and then somebody comes along and uses the 8-foot driveway that we just put in as an access for multiple parts.
Why aren't we responding to a legitimate request to the someone who's under contract to buy it, subject to?
He just asked and I don't have the email with me, and I can have it sent to me here, or I can get a copy of it. His request to me was to either stall the purchase until he could get his personal issue worked out, or he needed to withdraw from the offer. That's what my email stated. Now, the email that he sent to Patrick may have stated something differently, but that was probably more, at a request for a refund, which is why I suggested that Dick and I would pick up the cost for the variance, you know, because like I explained to Dick before we came to the meeting tonight, my client's intent isn't to really walk away from the purchase of the property. He's just got personal issues that have cropped up that have delayed his ability to perform. And so he asked me for either to stall the process, not this process, but to stall the purchase, or he would have to walk away. And so after talking to Doc about it, the most viable scenario here was to continue on, get the variance, and continue forward, because if he comes back 30 days from now and says, okay, I got everything cleared up, it would have been another 30 days to get the next meeting set up, and we would have been that much farther out.
But part of my fiduciary responsibility to the landowner that I'm representing in the sale is if I can put this together for her so that it's there on paper, then if another buyer does come along, I don't have to go through that, and I've essentially enhanced the value some. Instead of just letting it hang out there. So, I mean, my interest, he's representing a potential buyer, I'm representing the seller.
Correct.
Who may have multiple buyers out there if we could do this, but anybody, if we don't, anybody that comes along is gonna have the same, what are you talking about? You want me to pave 1,000 feet back here? So that's our issue.
And realistically, with all due respect, we can advertise that we have the ability to put a driveway back, or that, you know, we have a variance available for a single-family construction.
But I know, I think if you paved in so many feet, so that it doesn't look like just a gravel driveway.
Right.
And then gravel that and up to code, and get back to the house, and then have the building site, the pad, and pave some of that area up there.
If you do it that way, you've got the preponderant number of feet in gravel. Given the low elevation of all of this, is that really in a buyer's best interest? I.e., will the gravel provide sufficient drainage? Do you figure, I know you can't certify, but.
My experience is that when you have any kind of standing water at all, you have to get the soil conservation involved in it, and they have to approve crossing that. If they would designate that a wetland or not, I don't know. But you would have to run, like when we did the parking lot for Point Area Med across the street, we had to have a stormwater runoff, and how are you gonna handle all that stuff, and we're not paving anything like that. But I don't think that, if you went to the county and asked for a driveway permit, I don't know if we have to do the county or not, but there are certain hoops you're gonna have to jump through.
And I think the gravel would be permeable, right? I mean, is it registered as permeable? You don't recognize gravel as permeable?
No. Especially not after you put that 9-wheel water roller on there. You know, I don't know how much bearing this has on this, but we might as well talk about it for a second. I'm shooting from the hip, and the cheap side is about $100,000 for that driveway, and it's gonna be a lot more than that by the time you remove trees and ditch and put in, you know, 22AA and compact it. That's a pricey situation.
Only way you might whack that price is if you happen to be a contractor and had the equipment, you know, the wherewithal to do it, but I don't see that.
McCafferty, I think, is a contractor, but he's not a dirt contractor, if I remember right.
Correct.
He's my distant neighbor on the island. So.
And so in this request, you're saying that somebody's going to build this driveway all the way, or just only 40 feet and then stop?
No, nothing would happen for 6 months, or up to 6 months. And then if nothing happens during that time period, the variance becomes null and void, and we're back here again.
That's what I wanted to go over again, is I wanted to make sure that this request wasn't being transferred.
If this woman had a lot of money, and I were representing her from that standpoint, I'd say, put the driveway in, get it done, and then charge an arm and a leg for the property, because it's taken care of, but she's not positioned to do that. She's trying to sell the property, get out of it, and we need to provide access to that building site.
She's taken title to the property as a result of the negotiations regarding a divorce.
Right.
And that's cannot be retracted, I suppose. I'm not sure why she did
that. She's got it. She's got it, and she's struggling to maintain it. You know, taxes and all that kind of stuff. And it's a, there are amicable divorces, and there are those that are not, and this happens this happens to fall on that other side, and boy, I don't want to get between the two of them, I'll tell you.
I did look for comparable properties that have been developed as far as size, location, zoning district, that sort of thing. Really, in this area, I'm not sure how familiar with it you all are, probably more so than me. The intersection of Vogel and
Call.
There's a recent new build there on about 30 acres, if I remember correctly. And that driveway is paved blacktop from the road in. And by my estimation, probably looking at an aerial, 700 feet or so. But as far as, again, large parcels, zoned residential, there's not, you know, there's not a whole lot to choose from. The majority of them are smaller city lots.
Getting pretty scarce.
Well, 20 acres is large. You know, there are definitely some when you start coming down to maybe more towards the 10 size in that district specifically.
That driveway you're talking about was all high and dry and all sand. Here, this piece of property is really special. There's a hemlock forest right in the dead center of it. There's two old growth, 70 or 80 year old hemlocks, and then there's all these young ones starting around. It's beautiful, it's really beautiful. But it is wet. It's wet. And the only way that anybody could ever really develop that is by some pretty extensive drainage projects. And I just think that we should work out some kind of compromise here.
Could you even get a drainage project approved?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. That's a whole other ball of wax.
Well, with all due respect, that wasn't a contingency in the purchase of this property.
Right.
Well,
you know what I mean? I appreciate your concern, and I appreciate you pointing it out.
And in the back, it's beautiful. And there is a beautiful, that clearing back there in the back. Yeah, this perfect spot. You don't have to do anything.
Without a wetland delineation specifically, I suppose it's difficult to say what is and what isn't a building site.
But that's the burden of the owner, correct? The delineation. I mean, even if you granted us the variance for the driveway, it's still the burden of the purchaser, the burden of the owner to get the approvals needed to be able to drive. And not like they're going to put a driveway in and then say, hey, can I build a house back here? They're going to ask about getting the house built.
Before got to go through county, soil, building, all that stuff to get approval.
Yeah, I think we're putting the cart before the horse.
Well, I can
let them build the house first, or build the driveway to the house, wherever the site plan for the house is. You know, this is kind of ridiculous to have a 1,000-foot driveway to nowhere and wait forever for someone to build something.
Their intent is not to build the driveway unless they can sell the property. They just want the.
It's part of the bill of sale.
Right. But the other thing is, if we grant this and they don't use it within 6 months from tonight, then it's void. If they come up with something else or want to do it later, they're back here going through it again.
And I think that's fair.
Well, so what we're talking about is if we grant something, it is only for 6 months. And if they don't use it in that 6 months, I don't know. We'll say they tear the paperwork up and start over.
And so they're just using it as an aid to help sell the property.
Correct.
And then when we get to build the property, then of course we got to get a site plan for the house and then a driveway and all the other stuff. So it seems to me like it's kind of just go ahead and approve this for 6 months, if we can, according to our rules.
Well, the rules say, if you grant a variance and it's not acted on within 6 months, it becomes void.
I mean, the findings.
They cover all the variances.
If they're not acted on.
Said Mr. Heavey. I'm just teasing.
Dick, what's the size of this issue? What's their asking price, if you don't mind?
For the price?
Yeah.
35.
For all 20?
That's reflected in the fact that there's only one building site back there.
Yeah.
And number two, she just liked to get off underneath.
Yeah, no matter what.
Whereas I think that, that property that they sold for Brook was much higher. It was much more desirable.
That's the agreed upon purchase price. What you've had it marketed for how long at what price, Doc?
Oh, we'd had it at 50, 60, 70. Kept coming down and nobody.
So now that's why.
I had a guy call me from Colorado and said, tell me about that 20 acre parcel. I said, why? I said, well, I saw it on the multiple list thing, and he said, I'm looking at it, and he said, where could you get 20 acres in Boyne City for $50,000? And I said, well, I think you probably could get it for less than that if you want to throw an offer. He went away. He didn't come back. But I said, if you want a visual, just go to Google and Google that area and blow it up, and you can look at it. You can see what it looks like. So depending on the time of the year, whether it's got snow or not.
Any more questions from the board?
I'd like to know if we can... I don't think we're putting anything at risk by okaying this variance.
I would have felt better if your client was on the hook contingent on something that is accommodatable.
Until 3 days ago, he was.
Yeah.
You know, and that just cropped up. That's why, I mean, if this would have been 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, then we probably would have canceled and begged off or whatever. But because we were so close to the meeting, the letters had already been mailed, the neighbors had been notified, it made more sense to us to go ahead and proceed with it, even in, because it was technically in Vivien's name, right? Because she's the owner of the property. And so, you know, at this point, she doesn't know that, you know, because we're back to the, my email says either stall the purchase or proceed, but if we were going to stall the purchase, this was in the best interest of the buyer to get this taken care of tonight rather than stall and have to go through the whole thing again.
Does she know that the buyer has essentially backed out?
She knows the buyer's in a stall mode. That's about it. She knows it's contingent on this.
I value my life too much to say that right now.
Yeah, this would be the lemonade.
She's
really
in Florida, and I'm up here, so
6 months worth of lemonade here that we're working on.
So if Mr. McCafferty turns around tomorrow and decides that he wants to repurchase the property, where does that leave us? That's an open question.
No, basically he's got a permit to build a driveway, assuming this board grants the permission.
Maybe if I could add some clarity. If you took any action, it would be a property right. So right now, Ms. Vivien is the property owner, so that'd be her property right. If Mr. McCafferty buys it or anyone else buys it, it would be their property right. That transfers with the property.
Okay. 6 months.
And for sale, it's going to be attached to that property until it is put in effect or it 6 months comes up and it expires.
The variance goes with the property.
Exactly.
Yeah, 6 months.
Yeah. Because we're not talking, we're not talking land use, you know, where you're a different kind of variance.
Correct.
That explain it any better?
Yeah, I'm still dealing with a substantial interest kind of thing.
Well, it is. I want to say the ordinance used to say the property under control of the applicant. Well, it is. She owns it. Okay. So, okay. We'll close public hearing. And any other board comments, deliberation, whatever? If there's nothing, let's go to our findings of fact. Under the general findings of fact, that I think there's one thing I would like to see added is that the north boundary of the property is the delineation between the city and Evangeline Township. Have anything on the general findings of fact?
I'm just uncomfortable because we're being asked to take action on something that it really will accrue to a different owner. Should you take action, grant the variance, you're successful in selling it, That's my point is, that's way beyond our control.
With the exception that the owner of the property has to make the, I mean, this, the owner of the property made the request.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, the special circumstance here would be that the buyer may walk away from it, but he may not. I mean, he may still be intact. At any point in time, it's still the owner of the property that's made the request. You know, this particular buyer is the one that came up with the idea that said, hey, listen, what about this? So if we have this moving forward, at least for a six-month timeframe, then we at least can explain it better and to whomever it's a more viable piece of property at that point, because we have that answer. We don't have to, you know, as it were, we wrote this purchase agreement on April the 14th, and here we are in June the 2nd, just to get to the you know, the first contingency. And so that, you know, and that's of no fault of yours and the city. It's just the way the news is set up. You didn't want to pay for a special meeting.
What has to take place within this six-month period that might start tonight? How far along does the project have to be to keep the 6 months alive?
I guess that's up to Scott or whatever the city is. I mean, as long as he cuts the driveway, I would imagine, or begins the process to pull the permit.
That's some
pulls problems. A permit and puts in the, yeah. You know,
starts the construction.
Right, with a permit and construction. And not just necessarily my guy, but whomever.
Yeah.
I mean, as long as we're clear on that, we can take that message to whomever. That's not a problem.
We keep saying, I'm with Bob on this. And Chris, you're saying that the owner is the one that's making application here, but my application is John McCafferty.
If you read the bottom, that application was sent back to us so that the owner of the property, Mrs. Vavine, was asked to sign it because she has to make the application.
The property owner has to apply.
And she did.
The question is, the reason that my guy filled it out was because it was his contingency to the purchase of the property. If someone else comes in and doesn't want that contingency, they don't need to use that variance either. That's completely up to them. As far as we're concerned, the Conservancy can come along and buy it, and they can have it, and they're never going to use that variance. It'll expire 6 months from tonight. You know, but at this point, the Conservancy hasn't come forward, as well as other buyers haven't come forward in the meantime. So we're just trying to expedite this process, that's all. And at that point in time, if another buyer were to come, you know, let's say this meeting didn't take place, and another buyer comes by tomorrow, and they have the same contingency about, well, 1,000 feet worth of payment or 700 feet worth of payment is egregious in cost to me, so then you got to go to the city and ask for a variance, and so then we're out again. We got to get the day's notice and all that to catch the next meeting, which, you know, hopefully would be July, but depending on the time frame of that, could be as far as August. So, I mean, if this was some large development or some deep-pocketed investor, they probably wouldn't care. They'd call for the special meeting and get on with their life. But we're talking about a piece of property that's selling for $35,000. I mean, you know, at some point in time, the driveway's going to cost more than a piece of property. That's half the reason we're here. So.
Well.
Shall we go to the findings of fact?
Nope.
Number one, requiring the owner to comply with the regulations governing area, setbacks, frontage, height, bulk, density, or other non-use requirements that unreasonably prevent the owner from using the property for a permitted purpose or would render conformity with such regulation unnecessarily burdensome.
I suppose you could argue that the unnecessarily burdensome, as it applies to the driveway request, is 1,000 feet and we're used to paying for 40 or 50 or something like that.
Or 100 or whatever that might be.
Yeah.
And the cost to kind of to cover that.
Yeah.
And I would agree with that. But, you know.
I'll agree with that. But.
Okay. Any two, the variance granted is the smallest variance necessary to do substantial justice to the owner as well as other property owners. I think we could answer that affirmative in the way we, if we grant it, the way we word the motion. I think it can be made very, very limiting, I guess, is as good a word as any.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd say yes. There's no other smaller driveway available, I don't think.
The variance can be granted in such a fashion that the spirit of the ordinance will be observed and the public safety and welfare secured.
I think that's governed by how much, if any, this group is willing to contribute or is willing to stipulate that has to be the paved area.
Sure.
That's how you control it.
You are correct. I agree. And the need for the variance is not self-created. I usually struggle with this one, but in this case, I think not. I think the topography of the property is such that, and then the ordinance requirement combined make it, make cause the need, if you will.
Well, you want a motion?
Well, we got one more to go. The need for the variance is due to unique circumstances of the property itself, and not due to general conditions in the area or circumstances related to the owner personally or others residing on the property. And I think, again, yeah, we have basically agreed that it is not, if you will.
One last thing in regards to Mr. Carlisle's comment there, you know, in the spirit of the welfare and safety, back to that comment, I believe that whomever, whether it's Mr. McCafferty or whomever, if you want to word it correctly, I think his intent was that he would have paved it a certain distance and then put a bend or an angle of such so that while you stand at the end of the driveway and look down it, it would give you the appearance that the entire road would be paved. So that you're not, you know, it's not like it's flaunting the rule by just doing it to the edge and then it's gravel from there on in. I think it was, you know, his intent to either set it on some sort of an angle or set it in such a way that it would appear as the whole thing. You would have reason to believe that the entire thing was paved for the average person that would be driving or walking by. And if you want to word that in your ordinance or your motion or whatever, I mean, I don't know how you go that far with it, but by putting a foot requirement in there.
Willing to make a motion?
Let me editorialize.
Certainly.
I think you both have done yeoman service with your respective clients. If we go ahead and we put a limitation on it, do whatever we're going to do, my fear for your conscientiousness and hard work is that we're going to be back 6 months from now.
Understood.
I think this is a high risk, low return kind of proposition. That's why I admire what you've done.
Some clients, you're both aware of that.
Yeah, we know. I mean, some clients you got to go the extra mile for, and if it helps her out and it helps the next buyer out, we get it taken care of. I mean,
the other point is, though, that this property has been currently listed for 50, and if this goes through, the first thing I'm going to do is go to the MLS and move that number down to 35.
Yeah.
So people will see that, hey, there is, you know, numbers start to make sense now, so. And she's already accepted that, so I don't have any issue with
it. Is your feeling she'll take a 35 offer?
She had. That's what this offer is.
My, you know, should I get her as much as again? Yes, but I've got to be realistic about where this all is going to go.
We're not looking for 20 acres in town, right?
Not if it's this wet.
Oh well, okay.
So what happens then?
And because of some side knowledge. Am I correct in saying that the city ordinance does not allow animals, what are normally considered farm animals, within the city?
Actually, this property, you could have farm animals. Right. It's over 5 acres.
Okay.
Chickens,
goats, cows.
Well, you can have animals.
Well, they ran a riding stable for a while, the McCafferty's did.
Oh, really?
Oh, on the island? Oh, did they?
So and I know his wife's name's Beth, and I know Beth still has a number of horses. So are we going to get into a sticky wicket there or not?
It's allowed use.
Okay, I couldn't remember that.
It'll kill every tree on the property.
You know more about them than I do. So.
Well, like I say, they're my distant neighbors on the island. They're really nice people.
Unless you live in St. James, isn't everybody a distant neighbor on the island?
Well,
I'm teasing you.
I own a parcel of property just down the road on Barney's Lake Road from them.
Right.
And so, anyway.
So if we assume that Mr. John McCafferty is waiting for this approval of the variance, and next week he gets the notice and he says, okay, I'm buying, and so he buys it. Now what happens to variance transfers of the property to him, and so he has a variance that he doesn't have to build a 1,000-foot driveway, right?
He doesn't have to pay the 1,000-foot driveway.
He doesn't have to pay the 1,000-foot driveway. So, I mean, but if he's going to build on there...
He's got to still build the driveway.
Right, he's not going to get, you know, a complete site approval and everything without a driveway to Jefferson or wherever he's coming into, right? So I don't understand whether this is much of a problem. I mean, you know, to me, it's a...
Well, let me just throw out that the CBA considered a variance in the length of 55 feet with a stipulation that if and when this becomes a driveway, at the end of the 55 feet and it goes to gravel, every effort will be made to make it look as though it is a paved road.
I would like
to... Hypothetical.
It is.
I guess I would like to rephrase that, if you're agreeable,
yep, sure,
into saying that from Jefferson Street, all of the driveway visible shall be paved.
That's better.
That's better.
And then not put a specific limitation of 50, 55
feet. I would still
feet.
Right. Put a I put not minimum
shorter
distance.
Than, yeah.
Pardon? Right. I'd still put a minimum distance.
Yeah, I put well, not shorter than X, because somebody will give you 20 feet and you turn it
but
to the left.
If you're standing on Jefferson Street, I've got to see no gravel.
Right.
But instead of going 10 feet and taking
well,
right, and building a berm but, fence or something.
And he could berm. Right.
Well, Pat's point is that if you're standing along Jefferson Street, you can't see gravel.
Correct.
Period. Not
there. Well, there would be a number of ways that would allow you to not see gravel. You could put up a fence. You could landscape it.
Arborvitae
you could,
or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could conceivably put up 10 feet, turn to the left,
easy
and there's a fence.
Just put a distance.
Well, 33 feet?
Oh, I was thinking more like 950.
Got a five-piece property tree.
Bob said 55.
Well, yeah, but I think Pat worded it better, that it be carried, the variance applied to as much as possible to give the appearance of a fully paved driveway.
Well, so to a minimum.
From Jefferson.
Well, and I guess we could play with it and say that if there is some type of screening used, whether it be a berm or vegetation or whatever, mm-hmm. that, well, no, I guess I don't really want to see a berm there. That
I think you would just want to stipulate that the driveway paved portion should be no less than 55 feet, with the exception that no gravel should be seen.
Okay. So, I'm good with that.
Yep.
Are you good with that, Pat? Are you good with it, Pat?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, can we get a second?
I'll second it.
Well, I get
it. Roll call, please, Pat.
Carlisle?
Yes.
Kubish?
Yes.
McClory? Murray?
Yes.
Reynolds?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Well, good luck.
Maybe not.
Good luck. This was easier than fluoride and the bank over here on the corner.
You know my Doc Pickery.
Had 1 hour in these chairs, so thank you very much.
We don't have any.
It's not an easy
reports.
Job
to
do.
Any commissioner comments?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Do you anticipate the July and or August meetings at this point?
At this point, I honestly don't know. I know we probably should have one, if not August, September, because of terms. We've got two that will be expiring.
Is that Roger, me, or who?
I believe so.
Yeah, because Bob got redid, so. Any announcements? Motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you. You're gonna be going out to the island for a couple months.
Yeah.
Have a nice supper.
What do you do, put your car on the boat for the summer, or do you keep one out there?
I've got a car.